In the name of Jesus, amen. At the end of our second reading today, the Apostle Paul tells us to encourage each other with these words. And the goal or aim of our second reading today is encouraging words, encouragement. Our second reading is from one of the first letters, if not the first letter, of the entire New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, probably Paul's first letter. And Paul was a busy letter writer, writing letters to Christians all over the ancient world. We collect them. We treasure them. There are mail too. In our Bible study on Wednesdays, we've been looking at 1 Thessalonians a little more closely. It's a really upbeat book. It's good for this time of year as it gets colder. There's a warmth of heart in Thessalonians. Paul loves his community. We are to love one another. And it's a hopeful little book that Paul starts his ministry with. It's a community-focused book. It's written with Paul and Salvinius and Timothy. It's a group project, you could say. Close friends in the gospel. Not unlike a congregation today. It's a team book. It's got a team message. And the message of 1 Thessalonians is the message of hope, of eternal life, in Jesus Christ. It's a message of hope, meaning we're a community of hope. And that community of hope includes both those who are alive, and as Paul reminds us, also believers who have died in Jesus. And that would be the Apostle Paul too. Our second reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the heart of the message of hope of eternal life in Jesus. And our second reading is meant to encourage us. And the word encourage, what does it sound like? Encourage. To be in courage. To have courage. It's originally related to the word heart. Courage. Heart. To have heart. The Holy Spirit is telling us today not to lose heart. And for the original hearers of those encouraging words 2,000 years ago, there was much discouragement. There was lots of loss of heart. Members of the church that Paul planted had died. Jesus, the Savior who promised to reappear, delayed. Loved ones die before Jesus is back. Not only that, there's anxiety, there's pain and grief over being separated from loved ones who had died. And a lot of wise people down through the years have said all anxiety is probably based on the loss of life and the loss of loved ones. And in the culture of the first century where Paul is writing 1 Thessalonians, there were ghosts and superstitions and fears about death. Lots of ghost stories, fears today, ghost tours through Chinatown. Most people, just like today, didn't want to talk about it. Tourists might take a tour of the ghost, but when it gets personal, that's another matter. The dead were separated from the living. And in the ancient world of Paul's day, the separation of the dead from the living was permanent. There were famous stories and myths about those who tried to avoid that fate. They're still read in English class, Odysseus and others. But they were all doomed to fate. They were all doomed to the end. I learned it pretty early on. Two certainties in life. Taxes, death, can't avoid them today. As we get older, right, that reality sinks in more. And as those early Christians got older, the reality of death just became unavoidable. That's where Paul comes in, right? Paul, who died in Christ Jesus, was made alive, who was sent to go preach to those who were dying. It's been said that the most revolutionary idea ever was not political. Oh no, we got lots of that. It was not financial. We got lots of that too. The most revolutionary idea ever, it's been said, is the Christian belief in life after death. The Christian belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That if Christ has died and he's not still dead, and if Christ is risen and he's coming back, all believers in Christ will do the same. Christ first, then us. We will rise again. This is the central and the core belief of Christianity, and it was life-changing, still is. The resurrection of Jesus and the hope of eternal life, it's been called that most revolutionary idea ever, because if that's true, and it is, that means death is not the last word. Death is not the end. And if that's true, if death is not the end, we've got the ultimate life insurance. We can be as reckless as possible with the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We can live our lives confidently, even in the face of death. Nothing can stop this life. Nothing can stop our love in this life. Nothing can stop faith in Jesus. Not death. Not anything. That's revolutionary. That's life-changing. Jesus will return, and those who believe in him will rise again and live forever. That's the revolutionary idea of Paul that he drops right in the middle of 1 Thessalonians. He puts it this way: we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, meaning those who have died in Christ, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. In the communication, right, of the Holy Spirit of hope, Paul wants to inform us about what happens to those who die in Jesus and those who grieve and mourn in Jesus. And there's no superstition or fears for Paul in the Holy Spirit. He's quite clear about it. He's quite straightforward. He says they're with Jesus forever. Even though they die, they're always in the Lord. They and all believers in Jesus will rise again to new life in Jesus when he returns in power and glory. He'll descend at the end from heaven. There's a cry of command, meaning for the dead to come forth, the thunder of angels, a trumpet blast. The dead in Christ will be raised. And those who are still alive, Paul assures us, will be drawn up with them to meet Jesus, to meet our loved ones in Jesus, all believers in Jesus, a happy party up there in the air, always with the Lord. Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed. And by the way, those are some of the same words we say at the graveside each time we bury a loved one in Christ. And for those who grieve, Paul doesn't want us uninformed either. He knows that we'll grieve, right? We're sad. Life will never be the same. That's true. But one thing remains true and the same forever. Jesus is with us, and Jesus is with our loved ones who have died in the faith. And Paul ends it by saying this: we always will be with the Lord. We grieve and we mourn in the hope of being with Jesus in life and for eternity. One Christian writer put it this way: unlike ancient Greek heroes, Jesus was not held down by the power of death. And unlike the Greek underworld, death has no permanence for those who die in Christ. Death and the world, though they seem eternal, will one day pass away. The day of the Lord, it says in Amos, we read. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, a team effort, they ground their faith in Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection because they're fighting for hope. They're fighting for hope. And in the face of a cruel and desperate world, they preach the foolishness of the cross, the naivete even of hope. And this gospel goes out to all those loved ones who have died before their hope was fulfilled. It is a word meant for those who have lost children and siblings and spouses and parents. God has not forgotten those who have gone before us. God has not abandoned them. God will rise them up and raise them up, and we will see them again. Paul tells us to be encouraged by these words of hope, to take heart in Jesus, our eternal life. To look at the news, right? To look at Monday morning, right? Look at what goes on out there at the courthouse, right? To remember loved ones who have died, right? To struggle with the burdens and daily life, right? It can be disheartening. 1 Thessalonians is an early book of the New Testament. It's the early message. It's the center of the message. It tells of the hope of eternal life. It's the bedrock. It's the foundation. It's the faith in Jesus Christ for 2,000 years and counting of not somehow losing hearts. And every time we travel to the cemetery, we go with the message and hope of eternal life in Jesus. And even though we might get honked at and someone might cut us off, even on that final ride, we go with the message and the hope of Jesus. We will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians is a communal book, a community of the dead and the living in Jesus Christ. We will always be with the Lord. And there is hope. Our second reading today from 1 Thessalonians keeps saying to us, 2,000 years on, have hope, have heart, have courage. We will always be with Jesus. Jesus is always with us. And neither death nor life can separate us from him. Take heart. Take the heart of Jesus and make it our own. Amen.